from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Oh, it's time to lighten up the mood. I need this 11 o'clock hour, and if you're listening right now, happy Wednesday to all of you. You probably need a good 11 o'clock hour, too. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. So at 10 o'clock, you said 6 cups of coffee. Now, where are you?
I'm on the downside. I didn't drink any more coffee. Now I need to perk up and laugh a little bit. I just think, you know, the first 2 hours of the show was heavy for me. I think it was the Bank of America topic because it just reminds me of what I went through. And then the topic of inflation at 7%, it reminds me that so many people are struggling and that my heart just hurts. And I think that the first 2 hours was rough. And I decided to not drink any more coffee. And I think I need to laugh a lot. I'm going to count on Chef to really, really dig in and help us all have a good time with Agree to Disagree.
So we're ready.
Let's get to it. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami. One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
All right, let the eviction moratorium continue. That is the latest directive from new Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell, who is extending it for 30 days. It should end February 14th. That is on residential rentals, along with small businesses and nonprofits. And according to his news release, Mayor Harrell says, quote, as this rapid surge in cases driven by the Omicron variant drives further pandemic uncertainty, keeping vulnerable people in their homes must be the immediate focus. G. Scott, you have been an opponent of allowing eviction moratoriums to continue. How do you feel about it in this moment?
Well, times have changed right now, and this is a time that I'm totally supportive of the eviction moratorium being in place right now. We are going through extreme measures, extreme time with this Omicron variant. It makes things so much different. I was against it before recently. I kept feeling like we just kept kicking the can down the road. But at this time, right now, just right now, a nice 30-day pause. I would like to see that happen. I'm on board with that. You're at home right now because of what's going on with your children. Could you imagine if you didn't have a job in which you could work from home like this? Also, could you imagine if you were a single parent going through what you are going through right now? There are many people in this state right now that are really hurting. People that have jobs, people that are going to work, they go to work, they're waiting for their phone to ring. They don't know if their kids are going to be sent home or from daycare, from school, and they go to bed at night, they wake up in the morning to know that their kids' school is closed. This is a very hard time for people right now. Now, I'm, of course, in the country, but I'm talking about specifically this state. Ursula?
So I also was in favor initially of ending the moratoriums because otherwise it will never end. And also I felt like it was an unfair burden for small-time landlords. I still think I have concerns about small-time landlords and want to make sure that they also are getting something out of this. But it makes sense. It makes sense to extend it for 30 days. But it can't be 30 days, then another 30 days, then another 30 days, because at some point we do have to get back. There are people who, in some cases, have maybe not necessarily needed the extensions, but have taken advantage of it too. I think they are in the minority, but I'm saying at some point we need to get back to normal, but right now is not the time.
Are you seriously going to make me do this? I have to argue. You know what? I'm going to do it because, Ursula, it's not going to end this month, and it's probably not going to end the month after that. Frankly, because COVID, because Omicron, that is not a good enough reason for me. That is the catch-all excuse for why we can or why we must do something or why we can't do things right now. And what has changed for all those people between December and January? Are they going to be able to pay their bills if they have a month off? They already have the option of in eviction moratorium proceedings. If they say, I need help, and they go and they register with the city or with the state, their eviction is put on pause, it's put on hold, they're not kicked out. I think all this does is allows people to extend their debt even further. I don't think it helps them. I'm not hearing anything about, we've made additional resources available. Here's an easy way where, renters and landlords can go and be made financially whole. All of that is still in the works, and it is on pause for people that have followed the process that have been laid out. I don't understand why just saying, hey, Omicron, we have to extend it through January, February, March. When does it end?
Well, that's what he said. So he said 30 days. I tell you what, we're going to have Mayor Harrell on tomorrow, and we can ask him, what are the other reasons why you're saying 30 days, and is it going to continue to get kicked down the road? We know that either the mayor or his people listen to the show, so we'll have a chance to ask that tomorrow. But right now, just given everything and from everything I've heard from people who reach out to us, there is still a big struggle, and it makes sense for now.
I just want to ask one question. What businesses are being shut down right now because of Omicron? Like what people are losing their jobs? Because when the eviction moratoriums were put into place, they were put in place at a time in which the government said to businesses, you cannot operate. Now, there are still restrictions, like capacity restrictions, or you have to wear a mask, but there's no government shutdown happening right now, so why do we need it?
Because there are still businesses that are not whole, that are still struggling from before. There are still people making, trying to catch up from money that they lost during the height of the pandemic when everything was shut down. Your idea of everything back to normal, no, it's not. Have you been to any business where it looks, well, there are some. There are some, for sure. But there are others that are still struggling. And I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
Wait a minute. I asked you to do one thing. I thought you was going to perk us up.
You're talking to...
Failed.
Talking to Chef.
Utterly. Yeah. Just agree to disagree is broken today, G. I'm just going to use your theme word for the day.
No. It's broken and stressed.
Broken and stressed.
All right. What's got next?
It's the state of my soul. All right. So let's go down to the legislature now, which is kicking off. There is a bill that would ban fur farming in Washington out of concerns for the animals involved. So breeding foxes, minks, martens, chinchillas, etc., that would be illegal. Backers of the bill say that animals are raised in small, inhumane cages, and they are killed in a way that is not kind to the animals, and therefore should be banned. Ursula, I know this is kind of muddy, but should fur farming be banned? And if so, what about the other animals in cages?
Sure, start with me. Please, no animal rights activist, please do not go after me with my answer, but I was trying to look up what I could about fur farming, and while it's not a really huge industry in the state, it is something that provides families with their income, and I would be a hypocrite if I said, yeah, ban fur farming, but yet I'm going to go ahead and wear leather, I eat meat. So this is one where I have no voice to tell fur farmers that they cannot do what they do when I am a consumer of, well, not fur, but many of these other things that mean that animals die.
I don't know. Feels like I'm back in 1998 or 99 with AOL right now. Anyways.
Yeah, what is that? What is that? There's like weird sounds, and I can't see you guys, but there's like, it sounds like a big lighter.
It's coming from Chef. Every time, every time he goes to say something, it's like, "Oh, you want to light your cigarette?" It's a little flick that goes on. All kinds of stuff going. This is what happens when we're going through an Omicron variant. This wave that's going on. We hear clicks. We hear AOL. You got to load up. Takes you 30 minutes.
You should. It's probably coming from me, and honestly, I have no idea how. You should see my desk right now. I have like 300 feet of cable on a 3-foot desk with 18 different connections, 3 screens, 2 laptops, 2 mice. I don't know what I'm doing over here.
I'm just
stop it.
I'm just ready for it to say you've got mail. All right.
Okay.
All right. Let me.
Well.
Let me just,
Let me just get back to answering. I'll just simplify it. Ursula, I'm agreeing with you. I'm with you. I'm like, what? Like, we could do the fur. I mean, fur's not in style for me, so I don't mess with the fur. But there are people eat red meat. You know what I mean? Like, we can do this. We build a face. Like you said, animal right activists, you guys can hit me up. I don't know what to tell you. But I don't know. I don't see, every time I go to the grocery stores, I don't see you guys outside of the grocery store.
Okay, please don't encourage. Please don't encourage. Oh. No.
Well, let me ask you the question this points to. Because basically, Ursula, you brought up the hypocrisy of, hey, you know what? If you're a supporter of banning fur farming, then you should probably not eat meat, right? Or you should care deeply about where your meat cares from. Simple question. Do you guys care?
Well, I wanted...
Ursula's okay. So scared right now.
This is so uncomfortable. I'm just going to say this. I want to know it comes from good farms. I want to know that I love supporting local farms. Wilcox, shout out. But yesterday I was looking at, I was grocery shopping and I'm looking at all the, and the eggs, there are only certain cartons of eggs left. And so I was looking. One is roaming free, cage, you know, like, I just bought eggs.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's what I'm, Lily would be having me go to the store. I need the eggs to moonwalk, to Michael Jackson. And then you didn't get, you got the wrong eggs. These eggs have never been raised at the Hilton Resort. These were at the Marriott. These are the wrong eggs. It won't cook the right way. It's eggs.
And I know we need to be educated on this because I know there are different ways
color
to treat
eggs.
If you treat your animals well, apparently they taste better to the... But again, as I was saying this morning, I was like, ultimately, they're dying.
I'm going to say something. I don't know where this is going to go, but this is real simple. I'm used to white eggs. I see all the different color eggs these days, Ursula. I was raised on white eggs.
Do you ever get so uncomfortable during a segment that you start physically sweating?
Because now
I'm physically sweating.
I am sweating too on top of everything else.
y'all can sweat. Look. I'll take the blame if the bosses want to get mad and say we get a complaint on our show. Blame me. All I'm saying is, my grandma, my mama Scott sent me to the store. All the eggs were white. Now we got different colored eggs. All right. I'm all in.
So, our texters are saying it sounds like Chef has a loose USB port or something that keeps connecting and unconnecting. Yeah, whatever it is, everyone's checking their computers right now. It's because of you, Chef.
Well, thanks. You can blame me for the downfall of the show, at least during this segment. Okay, let's move on. Let's try this. All right, does it make sense?
I'm not being politically correct on the eggs. I'm still on the eggs. Because I've gotten in trouble many, many times. Fellas, ladies, anybody came home before and you didn't get the right eggs. These are the wrong eggs. These were raised here. These weren't cared for the right way. I don't understand. I just want scrambled eggs. Throw a little cheese in it. Let me get some toast and some butter, some jelly. That's it. I apologize for getting this off my chest, but I'm just triggered.
Can we just go ahead and just talk about pancakes again? Because
I'm triggered.
Like we did yesterday when we did that great segue. Let's just talk about pancakes and the best way to make them, as long as we're talking about eggs.
You're right.
Buttermilk. It's got to be buttermilk. I'm sorry, but there's no other way to make pancakes than with buttermilk.
And if you're only Heather, we're here.
I know.
Go get her.
Go to our Facebook page, because a lot of you have been sharing your recipes, and I love them, and I'm actually going to try several of them out. But there was one person who posted my favorite pancake is French toast. And whoever wrote that, I'm with you.
I just want to say there was a lot of good ideas on the pancakes. Like, I think there are some real professionals out there. I saw club soda being used. I saw people talking about sour cream in there. Like you said, Chef, buttermilk. There's some real, real folks that's out there making some good pancakes. And I think I triggered some folks, Ursula and Chef, when I said, not all y'all got good cakes. Not all y'all got good pancakes. You just don't do it. Some of you guys, it's too hard or it's too soft and, you know, all that. You just don't have the perfect pancake. And by the way, the first pancake is always just a tester.
Yeah, the
You never serve the first pancake. And if you do, I don't trust you.
Or it goes to Scooter. So I'm finding out now that there is a difference between the eggs. Listener Rob says, gee, it's like beer. White eggs are PBR, but farm fresh eggs are yummy microbrews. There you go.
Can I just say all eggs taste the same? I've never seen somebody at the table say, Mildred, these scrambled eggs taste a different.
I actually have.
Oh, no.
Farm fresh eggs, that is true.
Powder eggs? You know the difference in powder eggs?
I could see Ursa at the restaurant. Hey, wait a second.
Here's the problem, G. Farm. It's just because you need a little more diversity in your egg game. If you tried some of those brown eggs every once in a while, maybe you'd understand there is a difference.
Somebody just texted and said, I can't believe in 2022 that, G, you're still discriminated against eggs. Yo, I...
And 253 says, white eggs matter. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Okay, we've officially lost it. Do you got one more?
No, Nick, can you get me out of here?
Get us out,
I'm
Nick.
Sweating.
We are out of here. I just want to say a big thank you to Ursula Royte. She's been in this business for 33 years. She's been giving you the news, the hard-hitting news. She's been an investigative reporter. She's been doing all of this stuff. But today, it comes down to eggs. Ursula?
Yeah, not make my 34th year, is what we're saying.
Did you have any last words before we exit this segment?
Yes. We will regroup and get back to you right after Heather's newscast. Or Diane's newscast.
Oh, coming up next, who knows what we're doing next? We're going to be talking about the G and Ursula Show.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Pest Control. And we have often talked about housing and what can we do when it comes to affordable housing. And Governor Inslee's State of the State address during that speech yesterday, he proposed a big change that would affect neighborhoods all over the state, including yours. And so this is what the governor says he wants to do. He wants to allow the construction of townhomes, duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes in areas within a half mile of transit stops in cities that have populations over 20,000. Essentially, that means every city of that size in the state would be affected. What do you think of that proposal? And what do you think additionally should be done to make homes more affordable?
Okay. Well, let me answer the first part. I like this. I think it's great to put things closer, being able to take public transportation, being close to that, being closer to the freeways or whatever, because we all know that it's tough nowadays. Some people can't afford two cars, and there's two people that's working in the homes, or maybe you want to save on gas money. I think that this is a great idea. The next part of what you said about what can be done about affordable housing. And I always like to give the example of when my mama Scott moved into the big building in Chicago, when she left the projects and she moved on 51st and King Drive. And this building was really nice. I mean, really nice. Security guard, grass was green. It was phenomenal. And I remember when the family was all talking about how great it was. And this was a place that was, quote, affordable housing, right? Well, Ursula, you can have and live in affordable housing, but if you don't have money for upkeep, then that right there is a problem. And then what ends up happening? So for an example, let's just say you or anybody else listening that you have a nice home and your grass looks nice and the inside of your home looks nice. Well, it's probably because you have money for upkeep. And so this whole affordable housing thing, which sometimes it's just become like a buzzword, if you will, we need to address the beginning of it. we need to continue to talk about raising wages so that people can make more money so that they can be able to afford those things. You can't be in affordable housing if you can't afford to live there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. But and what is affordable housing? So I am trying to help a loved one who is elderly, who basically is being priced out of this region. We are basically looking at helping this loved one move to another country, because right now, even if you try to, there was a time when you could say, well, just move to Lynnwood, move to Shoreline. Well, if you are elderly and on fixed income, $1,500 for a one bedroom or $1,800 for a one bedroom is still not affordable. And what I am realizing and what I'm recognizing is that especially when you reach, unless you plan perfectly, and I can't emphasize enough how you really want to plan now before you get to that point, it is tough. It is, you have to make choices that you don't want to make. But looking at what Governor Inslee wants to do, I'm in favor of this. I have pushed against this idea of putting them anywhere and everywhere and making single family zoning, banning it everywhere. I am in favor of doing it where it makes sense, where you put those bans and allow these things within a half mile of transit stops. That totally makes sense because you want these places also to be livable. You want them to have services where they're available. But the other thing that was brought up, so one thing is to change the rules as to where you can build so you can have more affordable housing. But there was something that this Republican state senator, Chris Gildon, said that I also think is true. And he said it as a response to the State of the State address. And he says we need to eliminate some of the regulations that actually hindered the development of new housing.
We must stop piling on taxes and regulations that are choking the housing supply and making home prices and rents in Washington just unbearable.
And that can be true as well. And that is true. And anyone who has tried to, build, try to get permits, try to increase it is such a turnoff, and it's such a there's so many barriers to have to overcome that you're like, okay, why would I do this? Or all these barriers that you put for landlords, these smaller landlords, for example. Well, why would someone want to do that? Where, hey, you might actually get a chance to have an affordable rent. But because of all the regulations, they're like, I'm not going to do this.
Mm-hmm. The frustration that I have, Ursula, is, look, I get it. Like most of us, we make decisions based on what's best for us. Most people do. Like, I want this type of butter. I want this type of cheese. Everybody, we make decisions based on what interests us. The problem that I have is I feel that a lot of government makes those same decisions based on what's good for them. And the problem is most of the people that are making those decisions, their financial income is in the top 10%. And these decisions don't help those in the 90%. So we start talking about affordable living and housing, and we start talking about our grandmas and grandpas and some of our loved ones that are on fixed incomes right now. And we say inflation goes up 7% and property taxes continue to go up. What's happening? Well, our loved ones are getting priced out of this area. And there's still no fix for that. So that's where I speak from all the time. Coming up next, your text, your feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by. It's Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Welcome back and happy Wednesday to all of you. Ursula, before we get to those texts, I just want to tell you what Scott in Tacoma called me.
Oh.
Scott in Tacoma called me an eggist.
Yeah, because you said you only like white eggs. You don't eat brown eggs. And many, many, many listeners texted in and said, we are all, the eggs are all the same on the inside.
How about this, eggophobe? But that would be like all the eggs, though, so I like eggist.
Oh, yeah, all right. He's an eggist.
All right, let's get to the text, Ursula. You start us off.
Should sports gambling be allowed outside tribal casinos? A new lawsuit hopes to make that happen. 425 says, if the state opens up sports betting to other places and businesses, we would at least get tax revenue on those gambling revenues. My understanding is that the tribes do not pay out those taxes. This all seems wrong to me. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I've learned my lesson on this. I remember when I thought that marijuana tax, all that revenue in this state would do so much. It feels like we don't even see that, or we don't hear about what that does here. So,
well, it is doing a lot. It is bringing a ton of tax revenue, and it's why we're not, even with all the spending, we're not dealing with a big fat deficit in this state. So, in my opinion, is the tax revenue enough to reason to expand gambling? I think it's another reason. Let's face it. I mean, that is a revenue source. But someone pointed out, what a lot of people are doing is a felony, which is online gambling. It is happening. And again, people are going to find a way to do it. So I don't know why we only allow it for the tribal casinos and not elsewhere.
I have friends who they get away with the sports gambling by using Bitcoin. You ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah, I have. Okay, G.
What did TSA confiscate from your luggage? Well, our favorite listener, Glenn, texts in and says, I was stationed in Key West in 1977 and got orders for Germany. I flew to Seattle for 30 days, then on to my new assignment in Germany. Got to the base in my room, opened my briefcase, and found an ounce of weed and a note from my Key West roommate wishing me a fine vacation. Even the dogs didn't notice, thank God.
Oh. Man. I think that would be different today. 509 says, ex-TSA agent here. I have checked many quote-unquote drawer devices. They resemble bombs, power source, wiring, detonator. Okay, that's not what I was talking about when I was talking about what I have in my drawer. My best search was the bag from a woman traveling to a pleasure party with her girlfriends. They had 25 to 30 different drawer devices that had to be pulled out of her bag and laid on the counter. It was the funniest thing to see, the different shapes and sizes. This woman just had to stand there while we verified one by one that none of them were bombs.
Mm-hmm. How about Helen and Kent? She said handcuffs in her purse.
We had tons of people. You can continue to text us, too. We had tons of people texting in with the funny things that were pulled out of their suitcases. When it comes to tattoos, 206 says, I would never hire someone or marry someone with a tattoo.
Oh, really?
Even just one? Wow.
And to which I said, well, wow, that's really judgmental. However, we got so many people, and I understand because I am judgmental about tattoos too. Even though, gee, I know that you have tattoos. I love you to death. I don't think anything badly about you, but I can't say that, like you said, if you had tattoos on your face, or you know some people are tattooing their eyes these days, or I think there are ways to have tattoos that maybe are a little more discreet, or even if they aren't, I'm getting myself in a pickle here.
No, I'll help you out in this pickle. Yes, okay, I have tattoos, and I show them when I want to show them. But if I have to, let's say I have to go and work for the Seattle Seahawks and I go represent them, you don't see my tattoos. Let's say I am the auctioneer of your event, you don't see my tattoos. Let's say I'm an MC. Are you getting where I'm going with this?
Yes.
I can cover up my tattoos, and I call me old school, but I do not work or in a situation, I do not want to show my tattoos.
But there are a ton of people who also said, you know what, I used to be judgmental about it, but then it's really changed. A lot of young people are really into it, and that is true. And one person who said it best to me was, hey, let's get to know the person first before we judge their tattoos.
I agree. Look, that's why do you think I'm always complimenting Gen Z? Because Gen Z are going to be the next bosses. And I want Gen Z to be like, oh, G Scott? Oh, come on, we're hiring him. But what does he do around here? He doesn't do anything but tell good stories. And that's what I want to do. So, Nick, when you become the man later on, make sure you hire your boy.
I was going to say, you like Gen Z because, yeah, you want to get hired by me or somebody in the later future, but you just want to feel young again, don't you?
Oh, G, yeah, will always be young. So our agree to disagree was a disaster today, but it also got the most response. If you heard it, you know what we're talking about. If you didn't, go back on our podcast. Rob, retired police officer, now living in Tennessee. I needed that laugh. I was all stressed out. But now, thanks to you guys, I'm going to let it go.
Good pun there. 425 says, gee, there is a huge difference between eggs. The yolks in store bought eggs are pale, nasty yellow color. The yolks in farm fresh eggs are dark orange. And you know the saying, oh boy, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice, or something like that. I just want to say that was a text. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a text. That is not my words. Ursula, save us with words to live by.
And we talk often about trying to understand how it is to be in someone else's shoes, and that's called empathy. Empathy is seeing with the eyes of another, listening with the ears of another, and feeling with the heart of another. And to quote Henry David Thoreau, could a greater miracle take place than for us to look through each other's eyes just for an instant? Love you.
Love you guys too. Ursula, great show today. I'm glad that you're still with us. Because I know that eggs conversation was something. And Chef, you were sweating?
Oh, yeah. I need a new shirt, man. I'm all uncomfortable in my bedroom just imploding on the radio.
I'm going to tell you right now, that eggs conversation is probably my favorite one in the last 3-4 months. It was that fun to do. Nick, thank you for your efforts, bro. You've been killing it with the bumpers and the music.
I'll keep saving y'all with the jams. How's that sound?
Everybody's thinking about changing bumpers. Hey, we'll do this again tomorrow. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.